Welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Now, today I'm taking you back to the reign of King Henry VIII for On This Day in Tudor History, the 22nd of October 1537. An examination, or rather interrogation, was carried out regarding an accusation of treasonous words spoken out against King Henry VIII. Now, the 14th century Treason Act had made it high treason to compass, that is to say, imagine or contrive, the death of the king or the king's wife or the king's eldest child and heir. The 1534 Treason Act took this a bit further, stating traitors were those who do maliciously wish, will or desire by words or writing, or by craft, imagine, invent, practice or attempt any bodily harm to be done or committed to the king's most royal person, the queen's or the heir's apparent, or to deprive them of any of their dignity, title or name of their royal estates, or slanderously and maliciously publish and pronounce by express writing or words that the king should be heretic, schismatic, tyrant, infidel, or usurper of the crown. So what was going on in 1537? Well, John Newman of Newton in Northamptonshire had been accused of speaking maliciously against the king, and local justices had to look into the matter, for the words were thought to be treasonous. Depositions were taken in an examination carried out on this day in 1537 from Sir John Harbrown, Parson of Newton, William Davy, Margaret Peer, John Park, and other tenants of Newton. I'll read to you from the record of the examination. Sir John Harbrown, Parson of Newton, Northamptonshire, deposes that John Park of Newton said to John Newman on a Sunday before Michaelmas Day at Matins in the church, "Beware what thou sayest, for it is treason that thou speakest." But what the words were he cannot tell. Margaret Peer says that Newman said, "It is pity that the king was ever crowned, for we've had more pilling and polling since he was crowned than ever we had before, and it is pity that he hath lived so long." William Davy deposes that Newman said in the church about the time of evensong that we had never good house since the king was crowned king. And then John Park said to him, "Beware what thou sayest, for thou speakest treason." John Park says he never heard such words spoken but about midsummer. John Hewitt said at Matins time that he heard say the leads of Buckingham Church were valued. Harbrown then said he heard at Hayham on the Saturday that Buckingham Church was down. Then John Newman said, "God forbid that we should have any more churches down." Then John Park said to Newman, "Be contented, for the king is supreme head of the church, and we must be ruled as it shall please the king to have us," adding, "Beware what thou speakest, for a little word is treason." All the tenants of Newton say they never heard such words spoken as Margaret Peer has alleged, and that William Davy was not in the church when this matter should be spoken. John Stretton, John Hewitt, William Ross, Robard and Richard Peer and John Grant are bound for Newman and Park. So, John Newman was unhappy with what was happening to religious buildings in Henry VIII's reign, with the dissolution of the monasteries. So much so that, according to Margaret Peer, he thought it a pity that the king had lived so long, suggesting that it would be better if the king had died. Another John, John Park, had warned Newman that he was speaking treason, but he went on. However, others did not hear the words reported by Margaret Peer and pointed out that William Davy wasn't even there. After further investigations, on the 12th of November 1537, Sir William Parr and Richard Throckmorton reported to Thomas Cromwell, the king's chief adviser, saying that most of the witnesses affirmed the articles in the bill to be true, saying that William Davy now denies that he heard Newman speak such words and says he confessed it for malice at the instance of Margaret Peer. The matter against both Newman and Park appears to be maliciously contrived by her. So it sounds like Margaret Peer exaggerated Newman's words and that she persuaded Davy to back her up and pretend that he'd heard treasonous words too. A nasty situation. Newman was in custody due to the accusations, and John Park, the man who'd warned him, was also in custody as he was accused of concealing Newman's words. Parr and Throckmorton finished their report by saying that those concerned were in surety until further orders. Newman may have complained sorely about the dissolution of the monasteries and what the king was taking from religious buildings, and his words, as warned by Park, might have been close to treason, but they weren't as bad as Peer claimed. I wasn't able to find mention of Park and Newman again, but I do hope that they were freed and that Margaret Peer got a good talking to. Historian G.R. Elton, in his book Policy and Police, The Enforcement of the Reformation in the Age of Thomas Cromwell, gives another example of a false accusation of treason that very same autumn. On the 16th of November 1537, Sir William Parr reported to Thomas Cromwell that one John Sprat had been accused falsely by his boy of wishing success to the northern men. Asks how he shall punish such as forge such false tales. Apparently, this boy was cross with his master because his wages hadn't been paid and so decided to make all this up. Oh dear. What Peer and this boy did could have led to innocent men losing their lives, for the punishment for high treason was death, and a horrible one too, being hanged, drawn and quartered. Awful. Tomorrow, I'll be sharing a letter to Thomas Cromwell from a prior who was on the verge of losing his job and his monastery. I'll also be talking a bit about the dissolution of the monasteries and its impact. Do make sure you subscribe to this channel. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.